Welcome to the Friday Night Campfire Stories. My name is Rob, and I will be your host for this evening. I'm a short story writer, and I publish one story every single month that comes out on the first of every month. However, I want to create a new avenue for everyone to experience my stories, so about a month ago I started posting one chapter a week to my YouTube page. As of posting this podcast, the entire story is out, and I want to give podcast listeners their chance to hear my story as well. So, on the fourth Friday of every single month, I will be posting the entire story that I covered on my YouTube channel here in podcast form wherever you listen to your podcast. This month, we'll be experiencing my story, Hexenshire. Hexenshire is a Halloween thriller horror story that follows 13-year-old Myers, who is reliving the terrifying events that took place on Halloween in 2023. He quickly finds out that what happened the year earlier might just be the beginning of something much more evil. He has found himself fighting for his life. With the help of those around him, he must survive Halloween. So sit back and enjoy my story, Hexenshire.
Hexenshire, Chapter 1. Myers found himself once again standing in the middle of Elm Drive, the air thick with the scent of burning leaves and the faint whispers of a cold October wind. The jack-o'-lanterns lining the sidewalks flickered ominously, their card faces leering at him with sinister grins. He was dressed as a pirate, his costume hastily put together with an eye patch that kept slipping and a plastic sword that felt too light in his hand. The voices of children echoed faintly in the distance, their laughter mingling with the rustling of leaves. But something was wrong. Myers felt it in the pit of his stomach, a gnawing sense of dread that crept up his spine. The street was too quiet now, the usual Halloween festivities overshadowed by an eerie stillness. Then, he saw him. A man stumbled out of the darkness, his clothes torn and dirty, his eyes wide with terror. Myers froze, his heart pounding as the man staggered towards him, gasping for breath. "Help me," the man cried, his voice raw and desperate. "It's going to get me." Myers couldn't move, couldn't speak. He just stared at this man, his mind racing as he tried to make sense of what was happening. The man's eyes locked onto his, wild and pleading, as if Myers held the key to his salvation. "Please," the man begged, reaching out with a trembling hand. Before Myers could react, the sound of approaching footsteps echoed down the street, heavy and relentless. The man's face twisted in fear as he turned to see the source of the noise, and then Myers saw his father. Dressed in his police uniform, his father appeared out of the shadow, his face a mask of grim determination. He had his gun drawn, the barrel aimed squarely at the man who now cowered before him. "Dad?" Myers whispered, his voice barely audible. "Step back, son," his father ordered, his voice cold and unyielding, but Myers couldn't move, rooted to the spot by a mixture of fear and confusion. The man turned back to him, his eyes full of terror, and for a moment, it felt like time had stopped. "Please," the man to Myers whispered one last time, and then the gunshot. Myers jolted awake, his heart racing, his body drenched in sweat, the echoes of the gunshot still rang in his ears, a cruel reminder of the nightmare that had become his reality. He sat up in his bed, the darkness of his room closing in around him, as the memories of the fateful Halloween night a year ago flooded his mind once more. The morning light filtered through his curtains, casting a pale glow across Myers' room. He lays in his bed for a few moments, staring at the ceiling, trying to shake off the remnants of his dream. But the memory of that night was etched deep in his mind, a scar that refused to heal. With a heavy sigh, he dragged himself out of bed, the cold wooden floorboards creaking underneath his feet as he made his way downstairs. The smell of bacon and eggs greeted him as he entered the kitchen. Jack, his father, stood at the stove, a spatula in hand. He was a tall man, broad-shouldered with graying hair that was once as dark as Myers. His face was lined with years of worry and long nights on the job, but he still moved with a certain military precision, each action deliberate and efficient. "Morning, kid," Jack said without looking up from the frying pan. "Morning," Myers mumbled, sliding into his chair at the small kitchen table. He watched as his father plated the food and set it in front of him. The sight of the food made his stomach churn. His appetite has been almost non-existent since last Halloween. He picked at the bacon with his fork, pushing it around the plate. Jack sat down across from him, his own plate untouched. "You need to eat, Myers. You got a long day ahead of you." Myers nodded, but didn't say anything. He could feel his father's eyes on him, waiting for something, some sign that things were okay, that they were still connected, but the distance between them felt like an unbridgeable chasm. Each time Jack tried to reach out, Myers pulled further away, the memory of the night creating a wall that neither of them could break through. "Halloween is tomorrow. Are you and your friends going out?" asked his father. "No, Dad," Myers said in a snarky tone. "Halloween is for babies. I'm 13 now." After a few minutes of silence, Jack sighed and picked up his fork, but the meal passed with little conversation. When Myers finished, he pushed his plate away and stood up. "I'm going to catch the bus." "All right," Jack replied, his voice tight with the effort of holding back something more. "Have a good day, son." Myers grabbed his backpack and headed out the door, the cool morning air biting at his skin. The bus stop was only a block away, and he arrived just as the yellow school bus rumbled down the streets. He climbed on, avoiding the driver's half-hearted greeting, and made his way to an empty seat near the middle. A couple stops later, Jason boarded the bus, tall with a build that hinted at his prowess on the football field. Jason was the kind of guy who could easily hang out with the popular crowd, but despite his athletic reputation, he stuck with his friends he's known since elementary school. Jason slid into the seat beside Myers, giving him a nod. "Rough night?" Jason asked, noticing the dark circles under Myers' eyes. "You can say that," Myers replied, leaning back against his seat. The bus made another stop and Hunter got on. He was older by a couple years, and that fact had always made him seem cooler and more experienced than the rest of them. He had a rebellious streak, the kind that kept him on edge of trouble but never quite over the line. He was a protector of the group, and always stood up to bullies whenever they would attempt to walk over his friends. Hunter sat across from them, giving Jason a fist bump before turning to Myers. "What's up, man? You look like you've seen a ghost." Myers shrugged. "Just tired." Hunter raised his eyebrows, but didn't press further. He knew better than not to push any buttons when Myers was in one of his moods. Finally, Frederick joined the group, carefully adjusting his glasses as he squeezed into the seat next to Hunter. Frederick was the brains of the group, always buried in a book or working on some new projects. His wiry frame and slightly awkward demeanor made him an easy target for bullies, but with Jason and Hunter around, no one dared to mess with him. "So you guys ready for that history test?" Frederick asked, pulling out a notebook and flipping through pages. Jason groaned. "Don't remind me. I haven't even studied." Hunter chuckled. "You never do, and you still manage to pass." "Not all of us can be geniuses like Frederick here," Jason said, ruffling Frederick's hair, much to his annoyance. Myers watched the exchange with a faint smile. Despite their differences, the group had always been tight-knit, each of them always bringing something different to the table. The bus rolled through the tiny town. Hexenshire was kind of a small town that seemed frozen in time, tucked away from the hustle and bustle of the outside world, nestled in a valley surrounded by rolling hills and dense forest. It was a place where nature and community coexisted in a delicate balance. The town was picturesque, with its trees-lined streets and historic brick buildings that stood as a testament to the bygone era. The main street was aptly named Maple Avenue, was the heart of Hexenshire. It was lined with quaint shops, a bakery that always smelled of fresh bread, a general store where everyone knew your name. And in the fall, the trees would burst into a riot of colors, painting the towns in shades of orange, red, and gold, making it feel like something out of a postcard. Despite its charm, Hexenshire was quiet, almost too quiet. It was the kind of place where everyone knew everyone else's business, and nothing much ever happened. The town's biggest events were the annual Harvest Festival and the 4th of July Parade, both of which brought the community together in a display of small-town pride. But for all its beauty, there was an undercurrent of something darker. A history that the older residents spoke of in hushed tones, and a feeling that the town held secrets, buried just beneath the surface. It was this contrast between the serene and unsettling that made Hexenshire both enchanting and, to some, a little unnerving. As the bus bounced along the country roads, the conversation amongst the group shifted from schoolwork to the fast-approaching Halloween. Jason was the first to bring it up, his excitement bubbling over despite the early hour. "So, tomorrow's Halloween," Jason said, leaning forward in his seat. "You guys ready to hit up the neighborhood? Last chance for some free candy before we're officially too old." Frederick adjusted his glasses, a skeptical look on his face. Technically, I think we might already be too old. Isn't trick-or-treating supposed to be for little kids? Jason scoffed. Who cares? Free candy is free candy, man. And besides, half the fun is scaring the little kids and showing off our costumes. Hunter smirked. I don't know, man. Last year you just put that stupid werewolf mask on. Yeah, because it was awesome, Jason defended. That thing had glowing eyes, remember? Myers, who had been quiet until now, finally spoke up, his voice a little lower, trying to mask the unease that the mention of Halloween brought him. Maybe we should skip trick-or-treating this year. We're not kids anymore, and we could totally do something else, something more fun. Hunter raised his eyebrows. Like what, toilet paper in the school? Or egg in someone's house, Jason added, a mischievous grin on his face. Myers shook his head. No, I was thinking something for Devil's Night, you know, like a bonfire, or maybe checking out one of the old houses on the outskirts of town, something more grown up. Frederick hesitated. Devil's Night? Isn't that when all the people do them crazy pranks and stuff? My parents would kill me if they found out I was doing that. Not if we can keep it low-key, Myers countered. We don't have to do anything stupid. We could just all hang out, tell ghost stories, maybe see if there's any truth to those old town legends. Jason seemed intrigued. I'm down for a bonfire. Beats begging for candy. Hunter nodded. Sounds better than walking around the town like a bunch of little kids. Frederick still looked uncertain, but the thought of not being the odd one out made him cave. All right, fine. But I'm not getting in any trouble if we do end up doing something illegal. Myers forced a grin, relieved that he had steered the conversation away from trick-or-treating. Don't worry, Frederick. It'll just be us, hanging out, having a good time. No trouble. Jason clapped Myers on the shoulder. All right, it's settled. Devil's Night, it is. We'll meet at your place, Myers. Myers nodded, but as the bus drew closer to the school, he couldn't help the knot of anxiety that twisted in his stomach. He had convinced them to avoid Halloween, but the memory of the previous year still haunts him. He just hoped that whatever they did tonight, it wouldn't bring those nightmares back to life. As the bus rolled to a stop in front of Hexenshire Middle School, the group of friends shuffled off, blending into the sea of students making their way to class. Myers walked a little slower, his thoughts still swirling with the plans for Devil Night and the nagging worry about how it might turn out. Just as they were about to head inside, Meyer spotted Sabrina standing by the school entrance, talking to a couple of her friends. His heart did a little flip at the sight of her. She had long, dark hair that fell in the loose waves over her shoulders, and her smile was kind that made everything else around him fade away. "Hey there, Sabrina," Jason said, nudging Myers with a grin. "Why don't you go talk to her, Romeo?" Meyer's face flushed. "I don't know. I mean, what would I even say?" "How about you ask her what she's doing for Halloween," Hunter suggested, a smirk tugging at the corner of his mouth. "Perfect icebreaker." Frederick chimed in, adjusting his glasses. "Just be yourself, Myers. She's probably into the same stuff we are." "Yeah, like, that's gonna help," Myers muttered under his breath. But before he could back out, Jason gave him a not-so-gentle shove in Sabrina's direction. Stumbling slightly, Myers caught himself and awkwardly approached Sabrina, who looked up as he neared. Her smile widened when she saw him, which only made Myers' heart race faster. "Hey, Myers," Sabrina greeted him, her voice warm and friendly. "What's up?"
"Hey, Sabrina," Myers stuttered, trying to keep his cool. "Just, heading to class. You know, the usual stuff."
Sabrina tilted her head slightly, a playful glint in her eye. "So, are you doing anything fun for Halloween tomorrow?" Myers' nerves threatened to get the better of him, but he took a deep breath and managed to respond. "Actually, we're not doing trick-or-treating this year. We're planning a Devil's Night bonfire instead. You know, something a little different." "Devil's Night," Sabrina repeated, her eyes raising in a surprise. "That sounds interesting. What exactly are you guys planning?" Before Myers could answer, Jason, who had sauntered over with the rest of the group, jumped in. "We're going to have a bonfire. Tell ghost stories. You should totally join us." Sabrina's smile faltered slightly, and she glanced back at Myers. "That sounds cool, but isn't Devil's Night when people usually get into trouble?" Frederick quickly spoke up, trying to reassure her. "We're not planning anything crazy. Just hanging out. It's more about the vibe than causing trouble."
Yeah, Hunter added, leaning in casually against the wall. Just a chill night with friends. Could be fun, especially if you're there. Sabrina seemed to consider it, then looked back at Myers. It does sound like fun. Are you guys sure you don't want to do anything for Halloween, though? I've got this really cool costume. Myers felt a pang of regret, but managed to smile. It's just, after last year, I thought maybe we'd try something different, but if you want to, we could. No, it's okay, Sabrina said. I hope that you guys have fun with that, and who knows, I may just have to pop up and say what's up. Myers worried that he did something wrong by not receiving confirmation that Sabrina would be there. He was assured by Jason that he worked the conversation perfectly and that she was for sure going to show up. The night air was cool and crisp as the flames of the bonfire crackled and danced, casting flickering shadows on the trees that surrounded the small clearing. The group had gathered in a secluded spot just outside of town, where the woods were thick enough to make it feel like they were the only people in the world. But despite the warmth of the fire, Myers couldn't shake the cold knot of worry which had settled in his stomach. Sabrina still hadn't shown up, and it was getting late. He tried to focus on the stories his friends were telling, but his mind kept drifting back to her. What if she decided not to come, or worse, what if something happened to her? And then, when they looked under the bed, all they found was a single bloody handprint. Jason finished his stories with flourish, waving his hands dramatically. Frederick rolled his eyes. Come on, Jason. That's the oldest story in the book. It's a classic for a reason, Jason shot back, grinning. Besides, I saw you jump a little. Hunter, who had been lounging on a log with a bored expression, suddenly stiffened. He held up his hand to silence the group, his eyes narrowing as they listened intently. What is it? Myers asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Hunter stood up slowly, his gaze fixed on the dark woods beyond the reach of the firelight. Shh. Do you hear that? The group fell silent, straining to hear what had caught Hunter's attention. There it was again, a faint rustling sound coming from the bushes beyond. The sound sent a shiver down Myers' spine as he glanced nervously at the others. Probably just an animal, Frederick suggested, though his voice betrayed a hint of unease. Or maybe a psycho killer. Jason joked, though his laughter sounded forced. The rustling grew louder. Hunter took a step forward, putting himself between the group and whatever was out there. Stay back, he warned, his tone serious. I'll check it out. Just as Hunter was about to step into the shadows, the bushes parted, a figure emerged, the firelight caught the edge of the flowing black cape, and then a familiar laugh filled the clearing. Boo! Sabrina stepped into the light, her face painted pale with dark dramatic makeup that made her look like a gothic vampire. She was grinning from ear to ear, clearly pleased with herself for the scare. Sabrina, Myers exclaimed, a mix of relief and embarrassment flooding through him. Sabrina laughed as she joined the group by the fire. Sorry I'm late. I couldn't resist sneaking up on you guys. Looks like I got you good. Hunter shook his head, a smirk playing on his lips. You got us. All right. Nice one. Jason patted Sabrina on the back. That was epic. You should have seen Myers' face. Myers tried to play it cool, but he couldn't help smiling. Yeah, you got me, but it's good to see that you made it. As the group settled back around the fire, the energy of the night began to wane. The stories had been told, the snacks eaten, the initial excitement of being out on Devil's Night was starting to wear off. Jason, ever the instigator, suddenly perked up and reached into his backpack. All right, guys. I got something that'll make this night a little more interesting. He pulled out a couple rolls of toilet paper and waved them in front of the group. Hunter raised an eyebrow. You brought toilet paper? What for? Jason grinned mischievously. For some classic TPing, of course. I say we hit up Miss Ramirez's house, our beloved Spanish teacher. She's always given us too much homework, so I think it's time for some payback. Frederick looked uneased. I don't know, Jason. What if we get caught? Jason shrugged. We won't. It's Devil's Night. Pranks are practically a tradition. The group exchanged looks, and Myers could see that they were on the fence. Then Sabrina leaned in closer to him, her voice low and playful. Come on, Myers. It'll be fun. Besides, how often do we get to do something like this? Myers hesitated, the memory of last Halloween flickering in his mind, but the way that Sabrina looked at him, her eyes sparkling with mischief, made it hard to say no. He found himself nodding. All right, let's do it. With Meyer's approval, the rest of the group quickly agreed. They put out the fire and grabbed the rolls of toilet paper, setting off towards Miss Ramirez's house, with a mix of excitement and nerves. They arrived at the small, neatly kept home and quickly got to work, tossing the rolls over the trees and bushes, covering the yards in streams of white. The more they threw, the more they laughed, the tension of the night giving way to the thrill of doing something reckless. But their fun was cut short when they heard the unmistakable sound of a car pulling up to the curb. The group froze as the car's headlights swept over them, and then, the sinking feeling, Myers recognized the familiar outline of the police car. The car door opened. Jack stepped out, his expression stern and unamused. What are you kids doing? Jason dropped the roll of toilet paper he was holding, and Hunter raised his hands in surrender. Just having some fun, sir. Jack shook his head, clearly not impressed. Fun? This is vandalism. You're lucky I'm the one who caught you, not someone else. Now get to work cleaning this up before I had to bring y'all down to the station. The group mumbled apologies and quickly began gathering up the toilet paper, their earlier excitement now replaced with a mix of guilt and embarrassment. Myers could barely meet his father's eyes, the weight of his disapproval heavy on his shoulder. Once the yard was mostly cleaned up, Jack ordered the group into the back of the police car. The ride back was silent, the usual camaraderie of the group replaced with awkward tension. They pulled up to Sabrina's house first. She grabbed Myers' hand and told everyone to have a good night. Thanks for the invite, Myers. We should do it again sometime, Sabrina said softly before looking at Myers' father. Just without the vandalism. They finally pulled up to the remaining friends' houses. Jack gave each of the kids a stern warning before letting them out. When it was just Myers left in the car, Jack finally spoke to him directly. I'm disappointed in you, Myers. I expected better. Myers nodded, feeling a lump form in his throat. I'm sorry, Dad. Jack didn't say anything else as they drove the rest of the way home, but the silence between them said enough. The night that had started out with so much potential had ended in a way that Myers hadn't expected, reminding him once again that some things just never seem to go right. After the long, tense ride home, Myers quietly slipped out of the police car and trudged up the steps to the front door. Jack didn't say another word, just gave him a heavy sigh before heading to his own room. Myers knew that he had messed up, and the weight of his father's disappointment pressed heavily on him as he climbed up the stairs to his bedroom. As he changed into his pajamas, he couldn't help but replay the events of the night over in his mind. What was supposed to be a fun, harmless prank had gone completely wrong, and now all he wanted to do was forget the whole thing ever happened and get some sleep. He glanced at the clock on his nightstand, 11:59, almost midnight. With a tired sigh, Myers flopped onto his bed, pulling up the covers to his chin. His room was quiet, the only sound of the faint rustling of the trees outside his window. He tried to push the uneasy feeling from his mind, chalking it up to the lingering guilt and the strange events of that night. But just as the clock struck midnight, the atmosphere in the room shifted. The air grew heavy, almost suffocating. A low, eerie hum seemed to fill the space. Myers sat up, his heart pounding. Something was wrong. Before he could even process what was happening, his action figures, lined up neatly on the shelf across from him, began to twitch. It started out with just a few small movements, but soon the toys were fully animated, their tiny plastic limbs moving with a life of their own. Myers watched, horrified disbelief, as his action figures, once harmless and familiar, turned towards him with menacing intent. One by one, they began to leap off the shelf, their tiny weapons and fists aimed directly at him. What the? Myers barely had time to react before the first figure, a knight clad in silver armor, launched itself at his face. He swatted it away, sending it crashing to the floor, but another figure, a ninja with a gleaming sword, came at him from the side, slashing at his arm with surprising force. Myers yelped in pain, batting the ninja away and stumbling out of bed, his mind racing as he tried to make sense of what was happening. These were toys. How could they be attacking him? Desperation took over as more figures joined the assault. A cowboy with a tiny lasso, a soldier with a miniature rifle, even a superhero with a cape that seemed to whip at him like a living thing. Myers grabbed the nearest toy, a plastic pirate, hurled it at the window with all his strength. The glass rattled as the toy bounced off the pane. But Myers didn't stop. He grabbed the next one, a robot, and threw it with even more force. These action figures kept coming, relentless in their attacks, but Myers fought back with a mixture of fear and determination. One by one, he snatched them up and hurled them out the window, the tiny invaders clattering to the ground outside. Each throw was a struggle, but eventually the room fell silent as the last toy was tossed out. Panting, Myers slammed the window shut, his heart still racing. He stood there for a moment, hands on the windowsill, trying to calm his breathing. The room was quiet again, but the unease hadn't lifted. If anything, it had deepened. Slowly, Myers turned back towards his bed, hoping that whatever strange force had animated his toys was gone. But just as he did, his eyes were drawn to his closet door. It had been slightly ajar when he went to bed, but now it was open, wider, revealing the darkness within. A shiver ran down his spine as he noticed something, no, someone, standing in the shadows of the closet. A tall, dark figure, its features obscured by the blackness, was slowly emerging. Myers froze, his breath catching in his throat as the figure stepped forward, one deliberate step at a time. The figure moved with an unnatural grace, its presence filling the room with a cold, oppressive dread. Myers wanted to scream, to run, but he was rooted to the spot, unable to tear his eyes away as the figure reached the threshold of the closet. And then, a sudden burst of terrifying speed, the figure charged at him, its shadowy form lunging across the room. Myers let out a scream. The last thing he saw was the darkness enveloping him before everything went black. Hexenshire, Chapter 2. Myers jolted awake, his heart hammering in his chest, and he was drenched in cold sweat. The figure, dark, menacing, all too real, was gone, replaced by the soft glow of his bedside lamp that his father had just turned on. Jack stood next to the bed, his face etched with concern. "Myers, what's going on? I heard you screaming," Jack asked, rubbing his son's shoulders. Myers blinked, still disoriented, trying to process what had just happened. The closet door was now closed, the toys were all in place, everything looked normal. But it hadn't been. He knew it hadn't. I'm fine, Myers stammered, rubbing his eyes. Just a bad dream, that's all. Jack frowned, scanning the room as if expecting to find something out of place. Are you sure? You sounded pretty freaked out. Myers swallowed hard, nodding. He didn't know how to explain it, and even if he tried, what would he say? That his toys had come to life and attacked him, and a shadowy figure had charged him from the closet? It sounded ridiculous, even in his own head. "Yeah, Dad, just a nightmare," Myers repeated, forcing a weak smile. "Sorry I woke you." Jack lingered for a moment, clearly unconvinced, but eventually he sighed and headed back towards the door. "Alright, kid, try to get some sleep. You got school tomorrow." "I will," Myers lied. As soon as Jack left, Myers sat back up, his eyes darting towards the closet. His pulse quickened again when he saw it, the faint outline of the shadow figure, still standing there. It was barely visible in the dim light, but his presence was still unmistakable. And this time, it was smiling. Myers' throat tightened as the figure just stood there, watching him. He pulled the covers up to his chin, forcing him to look away. But the image burned in his mind. Every few minutes, his gaze would flicker back to the closet, and there it was, still smiling, still watching. At some point in the night, the figure moved. Myers was half asleep, fighting to stay awake, when he heard the blinds over his window snap down with a soft thud. His eyes shot open. He saw it, the dark figure standing at the window now, the shadowy face pressed close to the glass, staring out into the night. Myers froze, unable to breathe. It didn't move, didn't say a word, just stood there, motionless, like it was waiting for something. He squeezed his eyes shut, trying to will it away, but every time he dared to look again, it was still there. The hours crawled by. Myers didn't sleep. When the first light of the dawn crept through the edges of the blind, the figure finally vanished, leaving him feeling drained and hollow. The next morning, Myers dragged himself downstairs, his body aching from lack of sleep. Jack was already in the kitchen, making breakfast. He glanced up as Myers slumped into his chair. You look like hell, Jack said, flipping pancakes onto a plate. Rough night? Myers nodded, not bothered to elaborate. His mind was still spinning from what he had seen, and he wasn't sure how to explain it even if he wanted to. He picked up the pancake Jack had set in front of him, but his appetite was gone. Jack grabbed his coat and his keys. I've got to run to the station for a bit. I'll be back before dinner. You'll be okay, right? Myers nodded absently. Yeah. All right, Jack said, giving one last concerned look before heading to the door. Try to take it easy today, and happy Halloween. As soon as the door clicked shut behind Jack, the silence of the house closed in around Myers. He glanced around waringly, half expecting something else to jump out at him. But the house was still, until it wasn't. It started small, a spoon rattling on the counter. Myers stared at it, unease creeping up his spine. Then, one of the chairs at the table shifted ever so slightly, scraping the floor. Myers' pulse quickened as the air in the room thickened just like the night before. Without warning, a glass on the counter slid across the surface and crashed to the floor, shattering into pieces. Myers jumped up, backing away as the fridge doors swung open and closed by itself. Plates and utensils began to rattle, and then, as if possessed by some unseen force, random objects in the kitchen started hurling themselves at Myers. He ducked just in time to avoid the coffee mug that smashed against the wall behind him. A spatula flew past his head, and the kitchen faucet turned on, spraying water everywhere. Myers scrambled for cover, pressing himself against the wall as the chaos around him intensified. What the hell? Myers shouted, trying to shield himself from the barrage of flying items. His heart was racing, and his mind was reeling. This wasn't a bad dream. This was happening. Again. Suddenly, the front door swung open, and Jack rushed back in, his face etched with confusion and alarm. Myers, what's going on in here? The second that Jack stepped into the kitchen, the chaos stopped. The objects dropped to the floor, the faucet shut off, and the room fell to an eerie stillness. Myers stood frozen, breathing hard, his eyes wide, fixed on his father. I don't know, he stammered, trying to make sense of what had just happened. Things just started attacking me. Jack glanced around the kitchen, his brow furrowed. Attacking you? He didn't sound convinced, and Myers couldn't blame him. There were broken dishes and water everywhere, but no sign of what had caused the mess. It happened last night, too, Myers said quietly, his voice shaken. Things. They're not right. Jack sighed, rubbing his hands over his face. He looked tired, worn down by everything. Look, Myers, maybe you just need some more sleep. This sounds like stress to me. Halloween's always been rough on you. Myers wanted to protest, to tell him that it wasn't just stress or a lack of sleep. It was real. But the words caught in his throat. He just nodded weakly. Jack gave him a long nod, then shook his head. Just clean this up, all right? I gotta get going. We'll talk later. With that, he turned and left again, leaving Myers alone in the quiet Rhett kitchen. But even as Myers began to clean up, he could still feel it. The presence lurking just out of sight. That figure, smiling, watching, waiting. Myers couldn't shake the unsettling events from the night before or the bizarre attack in the kitchen. When he finally stepped outside to catch the bus, he noticed something strange. No one else was waiting at the stop. Usually a couple kids from the neighborhood would be there, chatting and laughing, but not today. The street was eerily silent. As the bus pulled up and the doors creaked open, Myers hesitated. The driver gave him a nod, but something about the man's eyes seemed off, dull, almost lifeless. Shrugging off the feeling, Myers climbed aboard and made his way to his usual seat near the back. But as he sat down and glanced around, he realized something even more unsettling. He was the only kid on the bus. Every other seat was empty, the silence pressing in on him from all sides. Myers' stomach churned with unease. Where was everyone? The bus pulled away from the curb, and as it rumbled down the street, Myers felt a chill settle over him. He tried to distract himself, staring out the window, but the world outside seemed oddly distorted, like a dream where everything was just a little off. As the bus drove on, the temperature seemed to drop, and the dim morning light outside grew darker, almost like twilight. Myers' breath came in shallow gasps as he noticed the condensation forming on the window. He could see his reflection staring back at him, pale, wide-eyed.
terrified. Then the bus lurched suddenly, and Myers felt a cold, invisible hand clamp around his throat. His hand flew to his neck, but there was nothing there. Just a crushing force squeezing the air out of him. He gasped for breath, panic surging through him as he struggled against the unseen grip. His vision blurred, and he could feel himself slipping, darkness creeping in from the edges. The bus seemed to spin around him, the walls closing in as the pressure on his throat intensified. He tried to scream, to call for help, but no sound escaped his lips. Just when he thought he couldn't take it anymore, the bus screeched to a halt. The door hissed open. Myers heard the familiar sound of footsteps climbing the steps. The grip on his throat loosened, and he fell forward, gasping for breath, clutching his chest.
Myers, you okay, man?
Myers looked up, his vision slowly clearing, and saw Jason standing there, his brow furrowed in concern. The dark, oppressive feeling that had filled the bus moments ago was gone, replaced by the normal, mundane atmosphere of the school morning. Yeah, Myers croaked, his voice shaky. He quickly straightened up, trying to compose himself, but his hand was still trembling. Jason slid into the seat across from him, eyeing him warily. You sure? You look like you've seen a ghost. Myers forced a weak laugh, the tension slowly ebbing away. Just didn't get much sleep last night. Jason nodded, not pushing the subject, though his eyes lingered on Myers a moment longer before he turned to look out the window. The bus continued on its route. A few stops later, other kids finally began to climb aboard, chattering and laughing as if nothing was wrong. But Myers knew better. Something was wrong. Something far more sinister than he could ever explain. And whatever it was, it almost killed him. Myers bit his tongue until the rest of his friends got on the bus, and he couldn't hold his concerns back anymore. Guys, I'm being attacked, Myers blurts out to his friends. Ever since I got home last night, something has been trying to kill me. First my action figures, then this shadow person. Even this morning, the kitchen attacked me. The bus fell silent moments before laughter immersed the friend group. Buddy, what are you on? Asked Frederick. What type of Halloween prank is this? I'm serious. This happened to me. I think I might die from this, Myers says, worrying. The friend group felt awkward because they couldn't tell if he was telling the truth. Myers wasn't the one to be coming up with stories, but at the same time, this couldn't actually be happening to him, right? Are you sleeping? Asked Hunter. No, but that's not the problem. I swear, something is trying to kill me, Myers says. I don't want to sound mean, but it sounds like you just need some sleep. I know the events of last year's Halloween are tormenting you, but you just need some Z's, man, says Jason. Myers is getting frustrated with his friends not believing him, but at the same time, he completely understands where they're coming from. He got that it sounded crazy and decided to keep quiet the remainder of the bus ride. When the bus finally arrived at the school, Myers felt a rush of relief as he stepped onto the familiar pavement of the schoolyard. The cold grip on his throat had left him shaken, but being surrounded by the usual chaos of students milling around, laughing, and heading to their classes helped ground him. Jason gave him a parting nod before disappearing into the crowd, but Myers couldn't shake the feeling of unease that still clung to him. As he walked through the hallways, the morning passed in a blur. His mind kept drifting back to the bus and the shadowy figure that had haunted his dreams. He barely registered the words coming from his teachers, his thoughts heavy with dread. By the time lunch period rolled around, Myers felt like he was on autopilot. He was sitting in history class, his mind far from the lecture about the Civil War, when a sudden sharp pang in his stomach jolted him out of his thoughts. He raised his hand. Mr. Hayes, Myers called out, interrupting the teacher mid-sentence, can I use the bathroom? Mr. Hayes, an older man with graying hair and perpetually bored expression, waved him off without looking up from his notes. Go ahead, Myers. Just don't take all class, period. Myers nodded, quickly gathered his things, slipping out of the classroom. The halls were mostly empty as he made his way towards the nearest bathroom, the sound of footsteps echoing off the linoleum floor. He pushed open the door and stepped inside, grateful for the brief moment of solitude. As he splashed some cold water on his face, trying to shake off the lingering tension, the door creaked open behind him. Myers looked up, catching a glimpse of the movement in the mirror, and his heart skipped a beat. It was Sabrina.
She walked in, her long brown hair catching the fluorescent lights, and her eyes widened slightly when she saw him. "Myers, what are you doing in here?"
I just needed a break, Myers stammered, suddenly aware of how disheveled he must look. "What about you?"
Sabrina gave a half smile, leaning against the sink next to him. "I got out of gym early, needing to freshen up."
"In the boys' bathroom?" Myers questioned.
"No, in the girls'," Sabrina said with a laugh. Myers was embarrassed by using the wrong bathroom. He started to say how tired he was, he must have not noticed, but before Myers could respond, the lights in the bathroom flickered ominously, and a sudden cold wind swept through the room. The atmosphere changed in an instant, the air growing thick and oppressive. Sabrina's smile faded, and she looked around, confused and concerned.
"Did you feel that?" she asked, her voice barely above a whisper.
Myers didn't need to answer. The shadowy figure he had seen before, the one from his room, from the bus, began to materialize in the far corner of the bathroom. It was just a faint outline at first, smudged of darkness against the tiled walls, but it quickly grew, taking on more of a defined shape.
"Myers, what is that?"
Sabrina's voice filled with fear as she backed away from the encroaching shadow. Myers' throat tightened as the figure grew clearer, its form shifting and writhing as it advanced towards them.
"I don't know, but we need to get out of here now."
The shadow lunged faster than Myers could react. It grabbed him, cold and suffocating, wrapping him like a living nightmare. Myers struggled, gasping for breath as the darkness squeezed tighter, its grip icy and relentless. Sabrina screamed, but instead of running, she grabbed the first thing she could find, a heavy metal trash can, and swung it at the shadow. The impact didn't faze the entity, but it gave Myers a moment of reprieve. He managed to break free, stumbling back towards the sink.
"Help me," Myers gasped, his voice barely audible. Without hesitation, Sabrina grabbed him by the arm and pulled him towards the door,
but the shadow wasn't done. It reared up, dark tendrils reaching out, slamming the door shut before they could escape. The temperature of the room had plummeted. The lights flickered again, casting the room in an eerie strobe-like glow. Sabrina's eyes darted around the room, desperate for something, anything that could help. Her gaze landed on a mirror, cracked but still hanging on the wall opposite of them. Without thinking, she grabbed Myers and dragged him towards it.
"The mirror," she shouted. "Maybe it can't stand the light, reflection, something, I don't know."
Myers didn't understand what she meant, but he followed her lead, turning to face the mirror. As they did, the shadow hesitated, its form wavering as if it were confused.
"Come on, you ugly freak," Sabrina shouted. The duo grabbed the edge of the mirror and tilted it so the light from the overhead fixtures reflected directly onto the shadow.
The effect was immediate. The shadow recoiled, its form distorting and shrinking under the harsh glare. Myers watched in astonishment as the darkness began to retreat, its hold on the room weakening.
"It's working," Myers shouted, his voice filled with a mixture of relief and disbelief.
But the shadow wasn't done yet. It let out a low growl, a sound that seemed to reverberate through the walls. It surged forward one last time, but they held the mirror steady, the light pushing back until, with a final hiss, it vanished, dissolving into nothingness. The room fell silent, the oppressive atmosphere lifting as if a storm had just passed. Sabrina let out a shaky breath, lowering the mirror and leaning heavily against the sink. Myers stood there, his heart still racing, trying to process what had just happened. He looked at Sabrina, who was pale but composed, and managed a weak smile.
"Thanks. I don't know what that was, but thanks."
Sabrina gave him a small, nervous laugh. "No problem, but you owe me an explanation. A real one." Myers nodded, knowing she deserved that much. But for now, all he could do was nod and try to catch his breath, still reeling from the encounter.
"Let's get out of here," Sabrina said, glancing around the now normal bathroom. "I don't think I ever want to see this place again."
Myers couldn't agree more. As they walked out together, he couldn't help but feel a strange mixture of fear and relief. Whatever had attacked him wasn't gone for good, but he knew that much. But at least for now, he wasn't facing it alone. They left the bathroom, and Myers explained everything that had happened since last night. Relief was given to him as he finally had someone that believed him. But what would happen next? Was the shadow person gone? Was he free from the evil? Unfortunately, this would just be the beginning.
Hexenshire, Chapter 3. Myers and Sabrina thought it'd be best to head to Myers' house and try to figure out what happened and why it was happening. Maybe there were others that were seeing the same shadow person. "So, do you have any idea what that thing was?" Sabrina asked. Her brow furrowed on the walk to Myers' house. "I mean, I've heard of haunted places and things like that, but this was different." Myers shook his head, feeling the weight of the day. "I don't know. It felt like something out of a nightmare, but it was real. I just hope it doesn't come back." As they neared the parking lot, Myers spotted Jack's cruiser pulling up. His stomach sank. "Hey, Myers," Jack called out, pulling to the curb. "Aren't you supposed to be in school?" Myers hesitated. Sabrina looked at him, then looked back at Jack, before speaking up. "I'll walk home, sir. It's a nice day, and I could use some exercise." Jack nodded, though he looked a bit skeptical. "All right, Sabrina, just be careful." Myers took a deep breath, stepping closer to Jack's car. "Actually, Dad, I'm not feeling great. I think I might head home and rest for a bit." Jack's concern was evident as he gave Myers a scrutinizing look. "You don't look so hot. All right, let's get you home." Sabrina waved as Jack drove away. Myers sat silently in the passenger seat, staring out the window, his mind racing with thoughts of the shadow and what it could mean. Myers' mind started going back to what happened a year ago today. The man was saying he needed help. Something was trying to get him. What if he had an encounter with the shadow person? "Dad, what happened last Halloween?" Myers asked. "Well, son, I had to protect you. There was a man who was going crazy, talking about killing and death. He felt like his life was in danger, but wouldn't really explain what was going on," Jack explained. "He stole a gun from one of my officers when he went to put him in handcuffs, and he said he had to kill it." Myers felt nauseous about what his dad was explaining. It was almost certain that this man was going through exactly what he was. "I wasn't sure who he was talking about killing, so when he approached you, I did what I had to do to protect you," Jack told his son. Myers sat quietly as he knew his case and the guy from last year's was related. But why him? What did Myers do to inherit this curse? Jack dropped his son off at home. When Myers arrived, he saw Sabrina standing at the back door, her expression one of quiet determination. "Let's get it started," she said, pushing the door open. "We need to figure out what's going on." Myers told Sabrina the story that his dad had just told him. Both agreed they are related, but how or why? They went inside and headed to Myers' room. Sabrina pulled out her phone and started searching for information on the supernatural entities, while Myers rifled through every Google search he could think of that would pertain to this case. But hours of searching yielded nothing concrete. The internet was filled with vague references to shadow people and haunted objects, but nothing that seemed to match what they had encountered. Frustration mounted as the shadows in the room grew longer with the setting sun. "I don't understand," Sabrina said, throwing her phone on the bed. "There has to be something that we're missing." Just then, the house was enveloped by a sudden, familiar, chilling draft. Myers felt shivers running down his spine. He glanced around, noticing temperature dropping sharply. "Sabrina," Myers said, his voice barely more than a whisper, "it's happening again." The shadows in the room twisted and writhed, growing darker, more defined. The oppressive atmosphere returned, and the dark figure from earlier appeared in the doorway, but this time it was not alone. Several more shadowy figures emerged, their forms flickering in and out of visibility like distorted, menacing reflections. Sabrina's eyes widened in fear. "We need to get out of here now." Before they could move, the shadow lunged, their dark forms coiling around them with suffocating intensity. Myers and Sabrina scrambled to defend themselves. Myers grabbed a lamp, swinging it at the shadows, while Sabrina tried to use her phone flashlight to push them back. But the shadows seemed almost impervious to their efforts. One of them wrapped around Sabrina's legs, pulling her down. Myers rushed to her aid, grabbing a nearby book, smashing against the shadow figure. The figure hissed and recoiled, but it didn't let go. "Hang on," Myers shouted, trying to pull Sabrina free. "We need to find a way out." Sabrina managed to crawl away from the shadow's grasp, her face pale but determined. "We need to go outside. Maybe the fresh air will..." The words were cut off as another shadow darted towards them, its dark form expanding to fill the space. Myers felt an icy grip around his throat as he struggled to breathe. Sabrina grabbed a nearby broom and swung it wildly, knocking the shadow back. Finally, Myers managed to drag Sabrina towards the back door. They burst into the backyard, gasping for breath as they slammed the door shut behind them. The shadows pounded on the door, their relentless force shaking the house. "We need to do something," Sabrina panted, her eyes wide with fear. "This isn't going to stop until we do something." Myers nodded, his mind racing. "We have to find a way to get rid of it. Maybe there's something in town, some kind of ritual or..." Before he could finish, the shadow seemed to coalesce into a more solid form, pressing against the back door as if it was trying to break through. The figures outside grew restless, their dark forms writhing in growing darkness. "Let's get away from here," Sabrina said urgently. "We can't stay. Maybe if we leave, it won't follow us." Myers nodded, his fear giving way to determination. They made their way to the front of the house, stepping onto the street. The shadows didn't seem to follow them immediately, but they knew it was only a matter of time. "Where do we go?" Myers asked, his voice shaky. "I don't know," Sabrina admitted, her eyes scanning the street, "but we need to find somewhere safe, somewhere we can think clearly and figure out how to stop this." As they walked away from the house, the streetlights flickered ominously, casting long shadows that seemed to shift and move on their own. Myers and Sabrina kept moving, their breasts visible in the chilly evening air, both feeling the weight of the dark presence that seemed to linger just out of sight. They had a long night ahead of them, but they were determined to face whatever came next together. Hexenshire, Chapter 4. Myers and Sabrina hurried down the darkened street, their footsteps echoing in the quiet night. The oppressive atmosphere that had plagued them earlier still lingered, but the shadows seemed to keep their distance, for now. "We need to find somewhere safe," Myers said, glancing over his shoulder every few steps. His breath came in ragged gasps, more from fear than exertion. "There's an old shed in the woods behind the school," Sabrina suggested, her voice steady despite the fear in her eyes. "No one will ever go there. We could hide out until we figure out what to do next." Myers nodded, grateful for her quick thinking. The two of them veered off the main road, cutting through the backyards and slipping into the narrow path that led them into the woods. The trees closed in around them, their branches reaching out like skeletal hands. The path was rough, and the underbrush tangled around their feet, but they kept pushing forward, driven by the need to stay one step ahead of the darkness. After what felt like an eternity, they finally reached the shed. It was old, weather-beaten, with a sagging roof and walls that had seen better days, but it was secluded, hidden from prying eyes. Sabrina pushed the door open with a creak. They slipped inside. The air inside was musty, filled with a scent of damp wood and decay, but it was a refuge. Myers slumped against the wall, trying to catch his breath. Sabrina sat down beside him, her back against the opposite wall, her knees pulled up to her chest. For a moment, they just sat there in silence, the weight of everything that had happened settling between them. Myers glanced at Sabrina, noticing how faint light from the moon filtered through the cracked windows, casting soft shadows across her face. She looked different in the light, vulnerable yet strong, her eyes wide with a mixture of fear and determination. "Thank you," Myers finally said, his voice barely above a whisper. Sabrina looked up, her gaze meeting his. "For what?" "For everything," he replied, struggling to find the right words. "For helping me, for sticking with me through this all." Sabrina smiled, a small, tired smile that didn't quite reach her eyes. "You don't have to thank me, Myers. We're in this together." Myers felt a warm spread through his chest at her words, a flicker of something more than just gratitude. The fear and adrenaline of the day had stripped away the usual barriers, and for the first time, he felt like he could really talk to her. Like he could tell her what he'd been feeling for so long. "Sabrina," he began, his heart pounding in his chest, "there's something I've been wanting to tell you." Sabrina looked at him expectantly, her expression softening. "What is it, Myers?" But before he could muster the courage to continue, the air in the shed grew cold, a familiar, chilling presence settling over them like a heavy blanket. The light filtering the windows dimmed, and the shadow outside began to move, slowly at first, then increasing speed, like the dark tide closing in. "It's back," Sabrina whispered, her voice trembling. Myers' stomach dropped. He could feel the darkness pressing in, but something was different this time. The shadows weren't attacking. They just hovered outside the shed. shifting and swirling, but not crossing the threshold. "Why isn't it coming in?" Myers asked, his voice barely audible. Sabrina shook her head, her eyes wide with fear. "I don't know." Suddenly, the distant rumble of a car engine broke through the silence. Headlights appeared on the path leading to the shed, cutting through the darkness like a beacon. The shadows recoiled, retreating into the trees as the lights grew brighter. "It's my dad," Myers realized, relief flooding through them. He hadn't expected to see Jack here, but the sight of his father's car was a welcome one. The darkness seemed to hate the light, and it was disappearing as Jack's cruiser approached. Jack's car came to a stop just outside the shed. The headlights washed over the entrance. As the last shadow vanished into the night, Myers and Sabrina exchanged a look of relief. Jack stepped out of the car, his flashlight cutting through the darkness as he approached the shed. "Myers, Sabrina, what are you two doing out here?" Myers stood, his legs shaky but steady enough to carry him to the door. "Dad, I..." "Come on," Jack interrupted, his tone firm but not unkind. "Let's get you home, both of you." Sabrina stood as well, glancing at Myers with a mixture of relief and lingering fear. "Thanks, Mr. Lawson. I think I'll just walk home from here." But before Jack could respond, something in his eyes shifted, a darkness, the same oppressive presence that had haunted them all night, flickering in his gaze. His smile twisted into something sinister, something not entirely his own. "No, Sabrina," Jack said, his voice lower with a growl.
"I think you'll stay right here."
Sabrina's eyes widened in fear as Jack's hand shot out, grabbing her arm with an iron grip. "Mr. Lawson, what are you doing?"
"Dad, stop!"
Myers shouted, but his words were drowned out by the cold, malicious chuckle that escaped Jack's lips.
"You shouldn't have interfered,"
Jack said, his voice dripping with malice. He shoved Sabrina back into the shed with a force that sent her stumbling. Before she could react, Jack slammed the door shut, locking it from the outside. "Dad, what are you doing?" Myers cries, panic rising in his chest as he banged on the shed door trying to free Sabrina. But Jack's grip was like steel as he dragged Myers away from the shed and towards the car.
"It's time for us to go, Myers,"
Jack said, his voice eerily calm. Through the twisted smile never left his face.
"We have important work to do."
Myers struggled, but Jack's strength was overwhelming. The darkness seemed to pulse around them, feeding off of fear and confusion in the air. Jack shoved Myers into the passenger seat of the car and slammed the door shut before getting behind the wheel. "Dad, please, stop this," Myers pleaded, but his words fell on deaf ears. Jack started the engine, his eyes now fully consumed by the darkness that had taken a hold of him. As they drove away, Myers looked back at the shed, seeing Sabrina's frightened face in the small, cracked window, her hands banging against the glass in desperation. "Dad, where are we going?" Myers asked, his voice trembling. Jack turned to him, the same sinister smile still etched on his face.
"We're going home, Myers. To where it all began."
The car sped down the dark road, the headlights cutting through the night. As the shed faded into the distance, Myers felt a cold dread settle in his heart. The darkness had claimed his father, and now it was taking him somewhere unknown, somewhere he might not return from. Sabrina, locked in a shed, was left alone in the dark, the shadows closing in once more. The drive was suffocating silent, the only sound being the hum of the engine and the occasional rustle of the wind through the trees as Jack drove deeper into the woods. Myers' heart pounded in his chest, each beat echoing with dread and fear. His father's face, an emotionless mask, the earlier sinister smile now replaced by a cold, vacant expression. The darkness had consumed him entirely, turning him into something unrecognizable. Finally, Jack pulled the car to a stop on an isolated dirt road, surrounded by dense trees that loomed over them like silent sentinels. The moonlight barely pierced through the thick canopy, casting eerie shadows on the ground. Jack got out of the car, walking around to Myers' side. He yanked the door open, his grip firm and unyielding as he dragged Myers out and shoved him to the ground.
"Get up,"
Jack commanded, his voice flat, devoid of any warmth.
"I'm going to give you a 10-second head start."
Myers' mind raced, his body trembling with fear. "Dad, please, this isn't you. You don't have to do this." But Jack's eyes, now hollow and empty, showed no sign of recognition. He took a step back, his hands resting on his gun, holstered at his side.
10 seconds, Myers. That's all you get.
Myers scrambled to his feet, his legs unsteady beneath him. The cold earth felt like it was pulling him down, but the instinct to survive overrode everything else. Without another word, he turned and bolted into the woods, his breath coming in ragged gasps as he ran.
1, 2, 3.
Jack's voice rang out through the trees, each number sending a fresh wave of terror through Myers. He ran as fast as he could, his feet barely touching the ground as he weaved through the underbrush. Branches scratched at his face and arms, but he didn't slow down. He couldn't. Not with his father counting down behind him. Not with the knowledge that Jack would follow through on his threat.
4, 5, 6.
The numbers seemed to echo in his mind, growing louder and more ominous with each passing second. Myers' lungs burned, and his legs felt like they were on fire, but he pushed himself harder, the primal need to escape driving him forward.
7, 8.
The woods were a blur around him, the darkness closing in from all sides. He could barely see where he was going, but he knew he had to keep moving. He couldn't stop now.
9.
Myers heard the sound of the gun behind him being drawn from its holsters, the metallic click sending a jolt of terror through him.
10.
The first shot rang out, splitting the night air like a crack of thunder. Myers ducked instinctively, his heart slamming against his ribs as he heard the bullet whiz past him, hitting a tree with a sickening thud. Jack wasn't aiming to miss, he was aiming to kill. "Dad, stop!" Myers shouted, his voice breaking with desperation, but Jack was relentless. Another shot fired, this time closer, the sounds reverberating through the woods. Myers could hear his father's footsteps behind him, gaining ground as Jack pursued him with terrifying calmness. The darkness seemed to pulse with every shot, feeding off fear and violence in the air. Myers pushed himself harder, but his body was reaching its limit. He could hear Jack's heavy breathing behind him, the crunch of leaves under his boots. He was getting closer, and Myers knew he couldn't outrun him much longer. In a desperate attempt to escape, Myers veered off the path, stumbling through the dense underbrush. His legs were weak, his breath coming in ragged gasps, but he kept moving, driven by the primal instinct to survive. Suddenly, trees parted, and Myers found himself on a familiar road. The same road where the man that had been shot and killed a year earlier, right in front of the old mansion. The memories of that night flooded back. The terror, the blood, the finality of death. Myers' leg gave out beneath him, and he collapsed to the ground, his body shaken with exhaustion and fear. He looked up to see Jack emerging from the woods, his gun raised, his expression devoid of any emotion. "Dad, please," Myers begged, tears streaming down from his face. "This isn't you. You don't want to do this. Please." Jack stepped closer, his eyes locked on Myers, the darkness swirling around him like a living entity. He aimed the gun at his son, his fingers tightening on the trigger. Myers squeezed his eyes shut, bracing himself for the end. He had no more strength left to run, no more words to plead with. All he could do was wait for the inevitable. A loud bang went off in the dead of night. However, listening, it wasn't from a gun, but the clock tower in the town square that brought in the new day. Something shifted in the air. The oppressive darkness that had surrounded them all night seemed to waver, then suddenly dissipated, like a fog being blown away by a strong storm. Jack froze, his expression flickering as if he were struggling to remember something. The gun lowered slightly, and the look of confusion crossed his face. "Dad?" Myers whispered, his voice trembling with hope. Jack blinked, the emptiness in his eyes slowly giving way to something more human. He looked down at the gun in his hand, then at Myers, as if seeing him for the first time. "Myers? What am I doing?" Jack's voice was hoarse, filled with confusion and horror as he realized what he had been about to do. He dropped the gun, his hand shaking uncontrollably. "Oh my God. Myers, what have I done?" Myers, still shaking with fear and exhaustion, looked up at his father, unsure if he was truly back to himself or if it was just another cruel trick of the darkness, but the genuine terror and remorse in Jack's eyes told him that his father was back, at least for now. Jack fell to his knees beside Myers, pulling him in to a tight embrace. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, son. I don't know what came over me. His voice broke as he choked back a sob, holding Myers as if he might disappear. Myers clung to his father, still trembling, but a glimmer of relief began to break through the overwhelming fear. For the moment, the darkness had receded. His father was himself again. The darkness lifted as swiftly as it descended. One moment it was there, oppressive, suffocating, and then it was gone, as if it never existed. The tension in the air dissipated, leaving behind an eerie calm. Jack knelt beside Myers, his breath ragged, his body trembling as the weight of what had just happened sank in. "Dad," Myers whispered, his voice barely audible over the pounding of his heart. "Are you back?" Jack looked at his son, tears welling in his eyes. "I'm back, Myers. I'm so sorry for everything. I don't know what came over me. I lost myself there for a while." Myers didn't say anything. Instead, he wrapped his arms around his father, holding on tightly, as if letting go would mean losing him again. Jack returned the embrace, the grip firm and protective. For the first time in what felt like an eternity, they were both safe. After a few moments, Jack pulled back, his expression filled with resolve. "We need to go get Sabrina," he said, his voice steady. "She's still in the shed." Myers nodded, and together they made their way back to the car. The drive back to the woods was filled with silence, but this time a comforting one. A silence that allowed them to process everything that had happened. When they arrived at the shed, Jack quickly unlocked the door. Sabrina rushed out, her face pale with fear, but her eyes filled with relief at the sight of Myers and Jack. "What happened?" she asked, her voice trembling as she looked between them. "It's over," Myers said softly, though the uncertainty lingered in his voice. "At least for now." Jack and Myers explained everything to Sabrina on the drive to her house. His voice calm and tinged with the weight of what had just occurred. He recounted the events in the woods, how he had lost control, how the darkness had taken a hold of him. Sabrina listened intently, her expression serious as she processed the information. "I don't know what the darkness was," Jack admitted, gripping the steering wheel tightly. "But whatever it was, it's gone now." "Do you think it'll ever come back?" Sabrina asked. Jack hesitated, then glanced at Myers in the rearview mirror. "I don't know," he replied, "honestly, but we'll be ready if it does." They pulled up in front of Sabrina's house, the warm glow of the porch light a stark contrast to the cold, dark night they had just escaped. Jack parked the car, and Myers felt a sudden wave of awkwardness wash over him. He wanted to say something to Sabrina, something that would convey the depths of his feelings, but the presence of his dad made the words stick in his throat. Sensing his son's discomfort, Jack faked a phone call, raising the phone to his ear. "I'll be right back," he said, stepping out of the car and walking a few paces away to give them some privacy. Sabrina turned to Myers, her expression softening. "Thank you for everything, Myers. I don't know what I would have done without you." Myers felt his face flush, his heart beating faster. "I'm just glad you're okay," he said, fumbling over his words. I'm glad we're both okay." Sabrina smiled, leaning in slightly. The moment hung between them, charged with the unspoken emotions that had been building all night. Finally, Myers leaned in too, and they shared a brief, innocent kiss. Soft and sweet, a promise of something more once the fear and uncertainty had passed. When they pulled back, Sabrina smiled again, this time a little shyly. "Happy Halloween, Myers." "Happy Halloween, Sabrina," he replied, watching as she walked away from the car and up to her house. She turned back one last time, giving him a small wave before disappearing inside. Jack returned to the car, his face unreadable, but the corners of his mouth lifted in a faint smile. "Ready to go home?" he asked, his voice gentle. Myers nodded, feeling the sense of calm washing over him. "Yeah, let's go home." As they drove through the quiet streets of Hexenshire, a sense of peace settled between them. The fear and the darkness of the night had forged a new bond between father and son, one that was stronger and more unbreakable than before. They didn't need to speak. The silence was enough to convey everything they were feeling. But as they passed through the familiar landmarks of their small town, something caught Myers' eye in the side of his mirror. A shadow, darker than the night itself, seemed to be following them, Keeping pace with the car as it rolled down the deserted roads, Myers' heart skipped a beat, but when he turned to look directly, there was nothing there, only an empty road stretching out behind them. He glanced at his father, who was focused on the road ahead, unaware of the brief flicker of darkness that had appeared. Myers shook his head, trying to dismiss it as a trick of the light, a remnant of fear that still lingered in his mind. But as they drove on, the feeling that they weren't alone remained. The darkness may have retreated, but it wasn't gone. It was still out there, watching, waiting, biding its time. For now they were safe, but the shadows of Hexenshire held many secrets, and Myers knew that this was only the beginning. That is the end of Hexenshire. I hope that you all did enjoy. Please be sure to follow the podcast to stay notified when the next story comes out. You can also check out my YouTube page to see each chapter get released each week. It's called the Friday Night Campfire Stories, and I post a brand new episode every single Friday, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific Time. I'm also getting ready to start a brand new series over on my YouTube channel, so be sure to check that out as well. Hit the subscribe button while you're over there. Anyway, that will do it for this story. I hope that you did enjoy, and as always, thank you for spending a little bit of your evening here with me, and happy Halloween, everyone.